restoration is needed, you restore. Where healing is needed, you heal, Father God. Where provision is needed, you provide, Father God. And I thank you, Father God, those that walk through the doors this morning, Father God, they will not leave the same in Jesus' name. That you will speak through these lips of clay, Father God, unhindered and unopposed. And any demonic force that's trying to prevent your word to come out will be stopped immediately. I plead the blood of Jesus over the sermon. And I thank you, Father, that I will only say those things that you say, and or that I hear you say. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 You may be seated. Once again, I want to thank. Oh, can that go a bit down? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Once again, I want to thank Apostle and Prophet for inviting me and trusting me with your pulpit. Yo, that is a heavy responsibility. Amen. And I want to thank you all for this morning, the Frozen Chosen. I call them the Frozen Chosen. They were, yeah, the people this morning. I have a habit of always changing things to suit me. Anyway, so to adjust things to suit me. So I'm not taking this lightly. And as you've heard, men, that the women knows me. Or no, they know of me. They don't really know me. They know of me. If they knew me, they would say, yo, that woman, when you come in her presence, you better make sure that there's no sin in you. Yeah. Or when you come in her presence, you better speak according to the word of God. Because she doesn't participate in negative conversations or conversations that doesn't glorify God. No, that's truth. That's the truth. My family knows me like that. My husband knows me like that. He calls me the word police, okay? So I don't participate in conversation that doesn't give glory to God. So that's how I like to introduce myself. I'm a daughter of the Most High God that only does what my Father tells me to do. You will never find me in a place where I'm not supposed to be. Because whatever I do, I present to him and I ask him permission. And then if he says go, then I go. If he says stays, then I stay. And I do believe that that's why I am successful. I present my plans to him first. I present my plans to him first. I just want to start with a very funny thing. I wear suits, okay, because I mostly minister to men and blah, blah, blah. So I have this few suits that I've now unpacked because it's winter now. So I unpack and then I try this one on, that one on. Oh, Lord, you know, this one, that one. And it's actually too big for me. And I said, did I really lose weight, Lord, in summer? Anyway, so so what I'm trying to say is I took out this suit and I thought, no, I'm not going to wear that. And I hang it on ready to leave early this morning. But I heard I should wear the suit. So I had all my other fancy suits, put them this one on that. And I said, put this one on, and it fits perfect, okay? So Father God knew which one I would be able to take and just put perfect and not be frustrated. Do you guys understand? You even have to ask him what to wear. You have to ask him what to wear. And yeah, so I'm talking before, can I share my testimony? Who said yes at the back? She was here this morning. Who was here this morning? You came back. It's the girls, it's the ladies, and a gentleman came back for the second part. Amen. You need to rewind. I was just talking. Okay. A few months ago, the beginning of this year, I was diagnosed with a tumor on my brain. And if you're a doctor in the house, you would know that with that size tumor, you cannot stand here. You cannot talk. You cannot walk properly. Apparently your face or whatever happens to you, a lot of things happen. But that morning, if you walk close to God, he will tell you if something is wrong. I woke up and I got ready and I said to my husband, you need to take me to the doctor. He said, what's wrong? I said, I don't know. I just heard the Holy Spirit said I should go to the doctor. So we went to the doctor. Doctor asked me, what is that, blah, blah, blah. And I said to him, no, I know that God is telling me. I didn't tell him, but I said, there's something. He said, but what do you feel? I said, nothing. Do you feel sick? No, but there's something wrong. Okay. So he tested me. He said, okay, I'll send you for a CAT scan, a ECG, blah, blah, blah. He said, there's nothing. Your blood pressure's okay. I'm thinking, and I'm looking at him. He says, but I can see you don't believe me. So I'm sending you to Mediclinic Emergency. Send me to Mediclinic Emergency. They did scans, tests, kept me one test after the other. He said, no, sorry, we can't find anything. He said, we'll keep you here. We'll keep you here for overnight to just monitor you. I said, no, 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 I'm going home. So they checked me out, and I got home. First thing I did, I prayed. I prayed and I forgive the doctors that couldn't find what God told me that was wrong in me, okay? And then I say to him, just a small prayer, you created me. You know exactly where the problem is, the challenge is. You know why you have warned me. So you are my healer. And this is what I said to him, and people laugh when I tell them. I said, if you were in this situation and I was you, I would have healed you. And I said, therefore I know that you're going to heal me because you love me. Amen? So I didn't bother. I went through stuff that night. But I was just praying in the Spirit. Oh, there's something about praying in the Spirit. So the next day, I still remember the time when I got the call from Mediclinic that they found this. Can you believe something so big that they could miss, right? So I said, they said, you need to go. I said, no, I'm healed in Jesus' name. I'm healed in Jesus' name. I'm healed in Jesus' name. So then, but this is the weirdest of all. I went in and I was in a coma for a super. I think it is a coma or I was a bit out or whatever. I don't know what happened. Then I got out of it and they said to me, name us a few words with the letter R. So I'm looking at these four doctors standing around me. I say righteousness, royal, redeemed, restored, rejoice, reign, rule. And they're looking at me. They said, there's nothing wrong with her brain. And the one doctor, the cardiologist, he's born again. He says, she's speaking from who she really is. But then I saw them looking at me weird. And I said, in ruby red room. So that they don't think I'm weird, okay? But I was declaring what came out of me when I opened my eyes was who I am. That's my identity. And I don't have a mistaken identity. I know who I am in Christ. And your words will meet you in your future. When I said to my daughter, they say that they can't understand why it's not damage. She said, Ma, but you always say you have the mind of Christ. So that clot couldn't damage the mind of Christ. Hear me. You have to speak the word of God over yourself and your children when everything is okay. Don't just wait when things are not okay. Speak the word when everything is okay. You can confess that my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and every organ in this body glorifies God. Glorifies God as it functions to the perfection that He has created it to function. So when the devil brings an attack, then you have the victory. Because you've spoken the word of God over your situation. Amen? I want to talk to you, and I believe that the men, whatever they do, they've been talking about this, or the church has been talking about this. I want to talk about faith in the marketplace. Faith in the marketplace were never supposed to be separated. When Adam and Eve were sent out of the Garden of Eden, that's when a new culture was formed. That was not God's culture. Laws were written. I'm going to quickly go through this because I have a lot to say about that I didn't say this morning. Okay. They sinned and they were sent out of the garden. And then the law of God, okay, is not that we toil. The law of God is that we trust. And when they were sent out of the garden, a new culture was created. A culture that originated from the architect of this world, Satan, and not from our Creator. Laws were made to support this culture and to legalize its destructive influence. For example, the current laws in our country, we're feeling and experiencing the destruction of it right now. We're feeling the destruction of those laws for taking God out of our schools, for taking authority away from the parents, for saying that you can be a it, him, what? Okay, I'm not going there. I'm not going there. Those laws were put in place. Today's nations are threatening default. Because, and we're one of those nations, and I'm not talking about other countries, I'm talking about this country, because of the country's excessive debt obligation. Cities are unable to meet their municipal budgets without voting in higher and higher taxes on its citizens. The threat of war and terrorism is worldwide. Unemployment, especially in South Africa, is on the increase. Drugs, poverty, and violence are trying to destroy the communities. The time has come. I heard it so clear that the church takes its rightful place and put back into order God's systems to walk by faith and not by sight, to put back into order kings and priests. So now the men can say, hoo-ha, hoo-ha. To put back that order, because that was not from the enemy. It is from God. There's no other institution, I want you guys to hear me, on earth equipped to solve the problems that we have in our communities today. But the church. But the church. Hear me. You've been anointed. You've been appointed. You've been called. And He has equipped you. Because He's the one who equips the called. If you have been called as an economic rainmaker, or a homemaker, or an educator, or an evangelist, or a pastor and priest, or a pew warmer, you have been anointed. Whether you've been called in the children's church, or the youth, you have been the youth ministry. I saw a lady saying woo-hoo-hoo for the youth vibes, and I thought, no, no, man, you shouldn't be saying woo-hoo-hoo for the youth vibes, you like. But I know why she said woo-hoo-hoo for the youth vibes, because she understands the scripture, he renews my youth like the eagle. That's my girls, heaven. Time for the Joshuas. It's time for the Elijahs, for the Davids, and the Gideons. I'm saying, and the Esthers, to rise, and the Deborahs, to rise up. But I want to focus on David and Gideon today. Those men that were called to operate in that office, the David and Gideon. This time has come to put your faith in God in the marketplace, to bring forth heaven on earth. Jesus taught his disciples to pray like this. As it is in heaven, so shall it be on the earth. Matthew 6:10. As it is in heaven, so shall it be on this earth. Time for you to change the destiny of your nation. Time for you to walk in the authority of the office that you've been called into. It's time for you to not just allow the enemy to intimidate you. But when you get up in the morning, not just on Sunday, every day, he must say, oh, wow, that Shari is awake again. Oh, wow, that whomever is males, oh, apostle is awake again. So he must quiver in his boots, because you are on this earth. You have been called to the kingdom of God. You are the one that knows that God is the one that divinely directs your steps, and that you will continue to be so close to him that you hear his voice, and the voice of a stranger you will not follow. You will be the one that goes into the marketplace, whether in government or in business, whether does not matter which, whether the church, you go into that market with the boldness that you know that God has called you into. You know what is so sad, and I know God finds it sad because I wrote it down here. Without God, society is lost. Society is lost and stuck in an inferior system. So without him, we're stuck in an inferior system. And we all know in the six pillars that shaping our society, government, business, education, media, family, arts, and entertainment, there's a conspicuous absence of the sons and daughters of the Most High God. And we wonder why. We wonder why. Because so many of us think that we can only stand behind the pulpit, or we can only do a certain job. When God is calling you to government to impact change, when God is calling you to the media to impact change, when God is calling you to education to impact change, we think we can only do a certain thing to be relevant in the kingdom of God. You are a king. You are a king. You are a king. And I'm talking to the girls as well, because they know. They know what I teach them. We're all sons of God. Some of us are just in female suits and others in male suits. Amen? So you are a king. I thought that's so weak. I thought there's millionaires in this church. God and faith in the marketplace go hand in hand. Without faith in God and wisdom of God to make divinely directed decision, the world remains, like I said, on a course to self-destruct. Why? Because there's a way that seems right to men, but the end means death. But I know in this church, I heard how they hoo-ha are, whatever they said. Isaiah 48:17 is relevant to them. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I'm the Lord thy God who teaches thee to profit. Profit is not a swear word. Why does the church think it's a swear word? God desire and he will teach you how to profit. And I'm not just talking about P-R-O-P-H-E-T. I'm talking about P, sure, my voice, profit, okay? P-R-O, okay? Do you guys understand what it is? He teaches you how to profit. He teaches you how to profit. And a desire for you to profit and not to be broke, busted, and disgusted. Because if you profit, then what is going to grow? The kingdom of God. Because I know I'm speaking to tithers here, right? I'm speaking to tithers. And if you profit and you tithe into the kingdom of God and you don't allow social media and other medias to influence you and tell you that you don't need a priest, that's the order that God is restoring. That's the order that God is restoring. We all need a priest, just like Abram needed a Melchizedek. We all need that. And I know because it has happened to many of us that, I was wondering what you're looking at, brother, that the minute they profit, then they take their profit somewhere else. Then they forget that the prophet and the apostle that prayed with them, cried with them, interceded with them, and then they, boom, breakthrough happened. And then Gateway International is not. Gateway what? It's not. Gateway Church is not. Oh, let's call it Gateway International. So shall it be in Jesus' name. It's not good enough for them anymore. Because now this church, it's too small for them. In this church, people can't see the Bentley that they drive. And they don't understand the value of that Bentley to give them status. No, your status you should get from the Lord. So many have come and they've gone. And they've succeeded in business, but they failed. Because they forgot there's a sequence in God's word. And they forgot that. You know, when I come in the presence of a prophet, I make sure that I have a seed in my whatever to hand it over to the prophet. Please, I'm not telling you to imitate me. That's my revelation. When you come into the presence of a prophet, you bless the prophet. That's the order of God. That's God's order. Amen? But now, we come into the presence of a prophet because we think they're minor. There's no minor prophets in God's word. No minor prophets. There's only a prophet. And there's no prophetesses. There's just prophets. Amen. Whether female or male, it's just a prophet. And you guys were blessed to have both in the office. A priest and a prophet. And like I said to the church this morning, do not be so selfish. Invite your neighbors to come so that they can sit under this anointing of this man and this woman that I know they preach the uncompromised word. I know that I know they do. Or else you won't still be here. I'm pointing to a lady because she's been coming every year to the ladies' meeting, right, girl? And she was so happy to see me that she stays for the second time. You know that we know, Woogie's places to the Woogie's access to those high places, it is Satan. And we know that some of us think that we get our decision and we make decision without God, without understanding that Satan has just manipulated us to do certain, make certain decisions. But if you surrender your plans to your priest and he blessed your plans, know this, my brothers and my sisters, you are definitely going to succeed. You know, at KCM Africa, when we do budgets, I didn't acknowledge my daughter. She's here with me today, and my niece, Tanya, and my daughter, Alvin, and and my PA, Miriam. You know, Tanya, when she heard I'm going to pastor to Shari's church, she says, I'm coming with. I said, but it's far. She says, no, I'm coming with. She lives in Alberton. Okay, she says, I love that church. So if people can say, I love that church, that's a testament of the love that is in this church. Amen? So she was early at my place. 7:05, she was already there. Amen. And my PA, Miriam, she's with me. And my husband sent his love from the UK. I'm a UK widow for the next month. He's in the UK. I'm by myself. But I'm not alone. I know that God keeps his promises. I couldn't keep my husband. We were going to travel together for the month. And I was told I couldn't travel. So I said to him, you go. I'm that secure. I'm that secure in my God. And I want to talk to you about, cursed be the man that trusts in man. Because when God gives you a plan, sometimes you take it to another man and ask their opinion. Ask them opinion. What do they think? When you know that you know that you know you've heard from God, but you're so uncertain that you want the opinion of another. Not everyone that is with you is for you. And especially family members. You want to share with every person. But the word of God is true. It says, cursed be the man that trusts in man, that makes flesh his arm, and whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a heath in the desert and shall not see when good comes. So you won't see the good that's coming your way because you put your trust. Satan is working through the economic system subtly, and we can see his hand, his filthy claws everywhere. And you cannot tell me if you're born again that you haven't seen it. Is actually convincing Christians to become humanistic and not to trust in God. You've all heard about tithe is the old covenant, or healing is not for today. I'm sure you've all heard, right? You've all heard that. And you all walk by faith. Most of us walk by faith, and we confess that we walk by faith. But then we still go to the Sangoma just to make sure. Just to make sure. Because we want to hear what our ancestors say. No, leave them alone. That Gogo couldn't help you when she was alive on this earth, so she's not going to give you advice now. So just leave her alone. Leave her alone. You must have faith in God again, alone. Because faith in him is such that no matter what the circumstances, you have moved beyond reasoning. You've moved beyond what if. You've moved if only, beyond if only. You know that if God has said it, he will do it. But I heard them singing that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. The word of God did say weapons will be formed. He didn't say that in this world you'll have no weapons. He said weapons will be formed, but it will not prosper. Hear me. But how do you attack? With your word. With your words. So many of us run towards our enemy with our mouth shut. Don't ever run towards your enemy with your mouth shut. I said it's time for the Davids to rise up in this church to slay the giants by their mere words, knowing who they are in Christ, knowing the covenant that they have. When Goliath attacked David, David attacked him with the word of God, because David knew his covenant. He knew his covenant. He told Elijah exactly what he was going to do to him. Because if you in God, you declare the victory before the fight starts. Because you know that you have the victory. You know that you know that you know you have the victory. And your victory is Jesus. He has a name, Jesus. He has a name. His name is Jesus. He is our victory. And when he said it is finished on the cross, it was finished. It was finished. So I do not understand, why do we find battles that he has already won for us? So you can declare your victory before you attack the giants. But there will be giants in the community, in the community. And you'll have to slay them. Not by attacking them in person, but speaking the word of God. And declaring you are king. So you have to declare who you are. Not what people say, who people say you are. Declare what the word of God calls you. Declare what the word of God, he called you an overcomer. He called you an overcomer. You can never attack a giant with your mouth shut. So many of us have said, I'll try this faith. This faith doesn't work. I'm confessing the word. I'm coming to church on a Sunday. I'm tithing. I have a challenge with people giving to get. I have a serious challenge with that. You give because you get to give. You tithe because you get to tithe. You have a job. How many are unemployed? You don't give and come with your shopping list. You give because you trust him. And you know that he said he will provide for your every need. For your every need, not just some of your needs. And you don't give him from the leftovers. You give unto him the best, the first 10%. And that hasn't changed. That hasn't changed. The first 10% belongs to the Lord. Why are people not walking in victory? Because they confess in front of on church, in front of their brothers and sisters who they are in Christ. Then they go home, have a serious fight with the wife, or scream at the children, and being abusive, or forget what they've just prayed. But those who listen to the word of God and confess what their prophet and apostle teach them, they will see the victory. They will see the victory. I have a friend in Namibia, and I met him in 2012, him and his wife. And when they went to Namibia, they went into Gatatura. Gatatura is like our Shoshanguve, no? Like our, like what? Khayelitsha. Yeah, it's like Khayelitsha of South Africa, right? God has called them there. And they were like, God, did you really call us here? Okay. So they put up a tent. And whilst he was still preaching, they stole the tent off him. And the speakers were gone. He just saw them walking out with the speakers. No, it's worse than Khayelitsha because they use that black plastic to build. Yeah. And he went through stuff and he was crying out to God. And the people that came to his church were all poor. But he knew that God has called him there. Many a time he would be, shout abuse at him, but he will just do what God has called him. If you go to that place now, that very place that looked like Khayelitsha, there's star roads. The people that came to his church have homes. They have the best position in the government. The church is bold. They all drive some of the smartest cars. If you're in where God has called you to be, and you know that he's called you there, that's the best place that you should be in. When I look at Arona, and I know where he has started, because I was there, and I see him now, it's like, wow, God is able. And he's not only able, but he's willing. He's not only able, but he's willing. Are you willing? Are you willing? Remember when God approached Gideon? He didn't address Gideon to where he was at. He addressed Gideon as what he saw him. He said, "You mighty man of valor." Gideon must have looked around and said, "Who's he talking to? I'm hidden here in the wine press. Who's he talking? I'm just imagining, okay. Who's he talking to?" But God saw Gideon as who he could become. So no matter what label people has put on you, remember the label that God gave you. You're a child of the Most High God. But are you willing? Gideon first had to be willing. He had to be willing. Amen. Are you willing? I hate clocks. We all know what the Word of God says about faith. It is impossible to please God without faith. And we've all been given a measure of faith. A measure of faith. And sometimes we just need faith like a mustard seed. I brought a little mustard seed in my bag, but it is so small. If you had faith like a mustard seed, that's all you need. If you have been believing God for business, if you have been believing God to become the best tither of this church, tell him, "I desire to advance your kingdom on this earth." And God will open the doors on your behalf. Because God sees you not where you are at right now. He sees you as a mighty son or daughter of the Most High God. See yourself through his eyes. And speak his word only upon your life, over your life. Only his word. No matter what it looks like. And you have to speak back to those bulls. You have to speak back to those things. Because you know they speak. Because you know that money is made of trees. And when Jesus was hungry, he went to a fig tree. And that fig tree actually had a conversation with Jesus. It had a conversation with Jesus. And bulls are made, they send it to you in paper, right? It's made of trees. They will talk to you like, "Ha, ha, ha. What do you think you are? You're never going to pay this bill." You speak to that bull. You tell him who you are. And then don't look back. Because when Jesus spoke to the fig tree, he never looked back. That fig tree didn't debate with the roots. They said, just said, hey boys, I think we should die. And he died. They didn't have a debate. He spoke and he never looked back. But what we do as sons and daughters of the Most High, we keep on checking if the prayer really did work. We don't pray and believe that we receive and then we praise. We check again, did it really work? Did what I prayed for, is it really going to happen? Be like Jesus. You've been made in the image of God and his likeness to have dominion and to subdue. It's time for the church to dominate and not to cower away in the wine press and not to cower, to hide somewhere else where God has not called you to be. You need to dominate. Made in your his image, you dominate. You dominate. Where's that who hearts now? You have to dominate. God has never created a failure. You fail because that's how you see yourself and the words that you allow people to speak over you. It is for that reason that you fail. But he has made you 10 times better than the world. 10 times better than the world. See yourself through God's eyes. Mighty men of valor, kings and priests. See yourself through his eyes. Faith and willingness need to go hand in hand. Amen? Are you willing to become everything that God has created you to be? I personally believe that active faith is unquestioning belief and trusting and relying on God, on Abba Father. If you do that, faith can then become so real to you, like your senses. Am I that boring? I'll rather come and preach to the frozen chosen again. Amen. Faith must be so real to you. Like your sixth sense. It must be more like one of your senses. You know what? Faith and fear is the same. Whoever you listen to will activate either faith or fear. And fear is not of God. It is not of God. He's made you fearless. You know what I like about Gideon? He knew that he was born into live the abundant life. He just didn't know how. Like so many of us know that we were born to live the abundant life. We just don't know how. Find yourself in the Word of God and let him reveal himself to you. And I want to say to you in Judges 6:25. Now it came to pass the same night. If you take God at his word, the same night breakthrough will come. Not tomorrow. The same night breakthrough will come. It came to pass the same night. Because faith is now. Now faith is. Amen.